speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Invite your attention to this reading from Mark 6, 1 through verse 6. And he, Jesus, went out from thence and came into his own country. His disciples followed him, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joses, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. Sometimes we hear patriotic speeches which contain that ringing phrase, I'm proud to be an American, and we echo those sentiments. But think about it for a moment. Maybe what we ought to be saying is that I'm grateful that I'm American rather than proud to be American. You see, we could have been born in Bosnia or China or India or Pakistan. We could have found ourselves on the streets of India this morning, wondering where our next meal is coming from, living in all kinds of squalor. I'm deeply grateful to be a citizen of the United States, and I trust that you're grateful as well. A father was talking with his rather rebellious son one day and said, Every person who lives in the United States is a privileged person. The boy answered, I disagree. And the father replied, Yes, that's the privilege. We have the privilege to disagree. We have the privilege to speak our mind. We have the privilege to practice our religious convictions for the time being and freedom. We have the privilege of free speech, of the press, the right of petition. We have the freedom to hope and to dream and to pursue our dreams. We are free in so many ways. And you know, we have these rights because of what our forefathers have done. You and I didn't earn the privileges that we enjoy as citizens of this land. But I'm thankful for those who did earn them and those who gave their lives that we might have this freedom. I know that you've heard it before, but may I remind you once again that more than 100 years ago, a famous French political philosopher, a rather young man, Alexis de Tocqueville, visited our nation to try to discover the secret of our greatness. He traveled from town to town, talking with people, asking questions, examining every facet of our society. When he returned to France, he wrote these powerful words. I sought for America's greatness. I found it not in her fields and forests. I found it not in her mines and factories. I found it not in her Congress and her great tribunals. It was only when I entered her churches, heard her pulpits thundering against sin and preaching righteousness, that I discovered the secret of her greatness. And then he added, America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. End of quote. Folks, if we put our trust in education, we'll get what education can give us. If we put our trust in money, we'll get only what money can give us. If we put our trust in government, we'll get what government can give us. But if we put our trust in God, we'll have everything we need for time and for eternity. Think with me for a moment. You remember the names of the great prophets of the Old Testament? Isaiah, Elijah, Jeremiah, Jonah, Amos, Daniel, Hosea. The list could go on. Listen to the words of Jesus as he approached the city of Jerusalem, as recorded in Luke 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. Yes, they were stoning the ones that were sent unto them. And Stephen, the first Christian martyr, said to the angry crowd that was about to stone him to death, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, like your fathers, you always resist the Holy Spirit. And was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute?" Acts 7:51-52. Well, why were the prophets treated in such a terrible way by their own people? Why didn't the people honor the prophets of God? Why didn't they listen to what they had to say? Because the role of a faithful prophet was to point out the evils of society, the things that were wrong in the land. And isn't that something of the job of preachers today? A few years ago, a picture of the historic flag designed by Betsy Ross appeared on the front page of a Chicago newspaper. And underneath that picture of the flag was this caption, "It's time to check our stitches again." Well, friends, maybe in America it's time for us to check the stitches to make sure that we're still the home of the free and the home of the brave. And let me call your attention to three temptations I think Americans are facing today. Number one is the temptation to enjoy fruits of citizenship without tending to the tree of liberty. A preacher preached a sermon a number of years ago that was entitled "Parking on Someone Else's Nickel." Now, obviously that sermon's pretty old because we don't have parking meters anymore. But many of us can remember when you went to Main Street or you went to town, there were parking meters. Well, I heard of one teenager who drove up and down Main Street, passing numerous parking spaces, until he found one where there was a little time left on the meter, and he felt like it had really made his day. He was parking on someone else's nickel. Well, I wonder if that's the problem in our country today. Most of us haven't earned the freedoms we enjoy. We didn't go to foreign lands and fight for those freedoms. We have not shed our blood and sweat and tears for them. We're parking on someone else's nickel. The poet expressed it well when he said, "We eat from orchards we did not plant. We drink from wells we did not dig. We reap from fields we did not sow. We're warmed by fires we did not kindle. We're sheltered by roofs we did not build. We're blessed by monies that we did not give." Yes, I'm thankful to be a citizen of these great United States. But as a citizen, you see, I have a responsibility to tend the tree of liberty. Is the world a better place because you are a citizen of this country? Is our community a better place because you're part of the community? Is the church better and stronger because you're a member of it? Or as one person asked, what are you doing for heaven's sake? Or can it be that too many of us are enjoying the fruits but not tending the tree of liberty? Well, a second temptation is that of enjoying benefits of capitalism while ignoring conscience. Yes, we live in a capitalistic country and a capitalistic society. And capitalism is not a dirty word. Capitalism simply means a free market. We're free to buy, to sell, to make a profit, to earn our own living. But capitalism without conscience becomes a cruel, ruthless form of life where there is greed and materialism that corrupts and we lose our concern for others. When our forefathers came to this country and founded our system of government, they were convinced that there was a higher power who was involved in the destinies of men and also in the destinies of nations. They believed that men were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that pursuit is there, but it's not a guarantee that we will have liberty and happiness. It was evident in the way they wrote, the way they lived, the way the nation developed. There was a moral fiber. There was a moral strength in our nation. But today it seems that by and large our society is caught up in greed and materialism, and that we're only interested in number one. It's something of a survival of the fittest, and all we're concerned about is seemingly making more and more. The result is crime, increased drug addiction, increased immorality. A man wrote a letter to Ann Landers, and this is what he wrote. "This is for the woman who was distressed about her son. I would like to ask her some questions about the boy. Is he disrespectful? Has he been arrested for drunk driving? Has he been kicked out of college for cheating? Has he gotten his girlfriend pregnant? Does he get failing grades? Does he steal money from your purse? If you can answer no to all these questions, stop complaining. You have a great kid." And then it was signed by Ralph in Oakland, California. Well, I don't always agree with Ann Landers, but I do appreciate how she answered that question. She replied to Ralph N., "Your letter showed just how much times have changed. You said that if a kid today is known drugs, doesn't get failing grades, hasn't been arrested for drunk driving, hasn't been kicked out of college for cheating, hasn't made his girlfriend pregnant, he hasn't stolen from your purse, that he's a great kid. But Ralph, you make no mention of achievement. There's not a word about integrity, a sense of responsibility, decency, morality, or service to others." And then she went on to add, "What a sad commentary on our times. Where is our nation headed, and who is going to lead us there?" End of quote. Well, the soul of America is God, and we're in danger of losing our soul. Our third temptation is to want Christianity without commitment. I'm not talking about an emotional experience. I'm talking about a commitment, a surrender to God that results in a changed heart and life. Far too long there have been those who felt that it's all right for nice little people to get together in their churches on Sunday, to dress up in their Sunday best, to listen to pleasant and enjoyable singing, to hear a little sermon that makes them feel good about themselves and about their family, and just tell me how nice I am, how pretty I am, how righteous I am. Give me Christianity, but don't talk about conversion. I don't want to change. I just want to remain the way I am. Somehow along the way, we've forgotten that the greatest freedom of all is that freedom from sin offered by Jesus Christ because He died at Calvary. And the way we appropriate the blood of Christ that was shed for the sins of the world is through our faith in Christ, repenting of sins, Luke 13:3, confessing the sweet name of Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and then to experience that life-changing transformation that comes through baptism, being born again, then faithfully worshiping and serving Him. Well, let's salute the flag. Let's allow patriotic juices to flow. But even more, let's remember we didn't earn our freedoms, and let's be thankful to God and serve Him. Until tomorrow, good afternoon.